Molly. Former worship leader turned mystic, your friendly neighborhood imagination doula and artist, I truly believe in the power of imagination, that creativity can lift us out of the darkest places, transforming us and our world as we come home to ourselves. I want you to know that you are darling and so loved, and that coming home to yourself and reclaiming your full expression is the most revolutionary thing that you could do. Welcome to the Darling Revolution Podcast. Hi, everybody. This is your host, Molly. I'm back. I can't count the amount of times that I've said that, but this is just how the ebb and flow of life works. And so the last time I posted a podcast was September of 2021, last year. And so it's been about 6 months, and a lot has happened in that time. And one of the things that has transpired is that I have decided to change my approach to this podcast. And I had this realization that I've been trying to force myself to do these solo episodes, right, where I'm talking to myself. And whenever I try to record them, it just has not been working. And what I realized is that I'm much more interested in having conversations. And I've been very inspired by my friend Audra Avery. We actually have a podcast that is coming out soon. I'll tell you more about that when it's closer to the time. But Audra and I have been having conversations for her podcast. And one of the things that she has decided to do is, rather than going to either extremes of having a solo podcast or a different interview every time kind of podcast, she's chosen this beautiful middle way of talking to her people. So it's like 5 or 6 people that she's introducing to you, and then we're just talking. And then you get to know these people over time. It's kind of like interviews, but it's more like conversation. And I'm much more interested in the deeper places that you can go in conversations, especially where there's trust already built. And so I figured that the easiest way to do this was to bring someone on the podcast that I am closest with. So I would like to introduce y'all to my person, my husband, because we got married last year, Christian Rivera.
Hi, whoa, that's me. I just walked out of a void and now I'm here.
Hi, Christian.
Hanging out. Hi. It's going to be really hard for me to keep my energy reined in into like an NPR podcast voice to like match your tone, but I'm gonna do my best.
You don't have to rein yourself in. It's just, you know,
we're just gonna go for it.
Yeah,
great.
So hello. So hi. We're gonna have some conversation today and like break the seal.
Good old conversation
that we do all the time, actually. So yeah. To give y'all a peek into our dynamic as a couple, we spend at least 3 hours collectively every day just talking to each other. And that's one of my favorite things about our relationship. It has been from the beginning, because when we first started talking to each other, it was just that. It was just talking on the phone.
We've both been the type of people that were like, all of these conversations we have, we should make it into a podcast.
Right.
And so we have separate podcasts, but we don't do a lot of podcasting together.
Yeah, or we haven't.
I think the last time. Or we always have ideas and we don't do it.
Or yes, we have started at least 1 or 2 podcasts that have 1 episode on them.
Anyway, we're getting meta about podcasting, about podcasting, about podcasting.
Yeah, and we don't want to do that. So this is Christian.
Hi.
Hello. Thank you for coming on to the Darling Revolution podcast. The last time I talked to you on a podcast in an official capacity, I think was like 4 years. No, maybe like 2017. Yeah.
Yeah. So almost 5 years now.
It's a very different dynamic. We have grown and evolved as people.
Very different things.
The third entity that is our relationship has grown and evolved. So
yeah,
I have you here to help me talk about stuff because you're really, really good at asking questions.
Great. I hope the listener finds all of this riveting and exciting, and it totally disrupts their day in the best possible way.
Riveting.
I love that word. Mm-hmm. It's a good word. Should I introduce myself
yeah.
a little bit?
Tell the people who you are.
So my name is Christian Rivera, aka C-Note. I also have my own podcast. It's called Dopamine. I talk about like my own story related to like healing and acceptance and growth and stuff like that. I talk about a lot of personality related stuff too. I'm pretty well versed in
creativity
and mental personality health, related stuff.
All these things.
I worked in film marketing. I'm a freelance creative director and consultant. So basically I help with designing graphics and video packages and marketing and promotional material for like online teachers and coaches and stuff like that.
Basically, he's super cool and I am beyond stoked to introduce him to you.
I appreciate that. I've been at this for a long time. I've been a designer and media creator for like 20 years at least now. I used to make book reports with like Kids Enterprises on the back of the book report in like fourth grade. So I've always been
Kids Enterprises.
I was always a seed of who I feel like I am now, and now I'm blossoming in a way that feels really fantastic. So
that's beautiful.
So I'm a creative director, consultant type of person. I like video games. I'm pretty nerdy. I can go down a lot of thought rabbit holes, mm-hmm. and I like to just be ridiculous. I like The Amazing Gumball is one of my favorite cartoons, along with Animaniacs.
We love ourselves some cartoons.
Cartoons and things, and I don't know. I don't know what people want to know about people.
I think I want to share that because I've talked about it a little bit before. Part of our dynamic that's really lovely is that we have always had a focus on personal growth, like together and separately.
Mm-hmm.
And so for folks who do care about this stuff,
yeah,
I'm an ENFP and you're an INTP.
Yes.
And I've talked about that in my podcast a little bit before. So we have a lot of things that we have in common, and we are opposites in a lot of ways that I love because we complement each other.
Yeah.
You're also an Enneagram 1. I'm an Enneagram 4. And so
there's some complementary things there too.
Yeah. And it's really interesting because like the growth path that we're both on right now, each of us have kind of the thing that the other needs for growth in this season. And it's really, really cool. Not that we complete each other, but we're walking together parallel on this journey.
Yeah. And it's like a Venn diagram of sorts. There's a lot of overlap, but there's also a lot of separate things.
Yeah.
That complement each other. And I think what's been really great about our dynamic and relationship is, as I've seen validated over and over again, that the measure of success for a lot of partnerships and relationships is that both people are continuing self-growth and self-awareness and individual growth work.
Yeah.
And continuing to improve themselves and therefore being aware of their own tendencies or triggers or reactions and being able to manage and grow within oneself. So I think that's been a real measure of success for our dynamic, because mm-hmm. we've been through some stuff.
We've been through some shit.
We've worked through some things, but ultimately, it's usually like found an equilibrium by one of us having to grow to match the other person's energy, or where they're at, or something like that.
Yeah, one of the things that I really appreciate about our dynamic is that we have started from the beginning with like the assumption that we're both going to continue to change and evolve, and we're both cheering on that evolution in each other. So we don't have this expectation that we're going to stay the same. And we have been through some shit. And that's pretty much what I want to talk about today, is where in the world have I been last 6 months?
And when I say some shit, it's like separately and together. It's like, like we each sometimes have our own ego things, like we're going through something. Like I've recently gone through some deep shadow stuff that I've been working on. And when one of us is, you know, one of us is like knocked out by one of those ideas, the other one tends to either, you know, hold things down for a little while, or sometimes that triggers the other person. Or there's like a third entity aspect where there's something that almost like existentially affects the relationship, and we both have to grow in order to make that grow. So
life soup.
And then the last thing I think I wanted to mention before we launch into this other stuff is that because we're both NPs, you're an ENFP and I'm an INTP, that we're both conceptually bouncy, which is why we've probably touched on four or five topics within the first 10 minutes here or however long we've been talking. And so just make note of that, that if you're someone who is maybe not able to track that conceptual bouncing, that maybe take some notes or write down what topic we're on.
I think the audience, y'all know this about me already. I have a tendency to, I'm talking about one thing, but one of my superpowers is pulling in all the connections that also go along with that one thing. Right. And so you also have that going on. So yeah, right. Be prepared for us to bounce around.
It's amplified.
It sure is what I'm saying.
All right. So you're basically wanting to address where you've been the last 6 months.
Yeah. Because I basically dropped an interview on the podcast with my friend and mentor, Fanny. Mm-hmm. And that was an excellent interview. And I have a bunch more that I have recorded and just haven't posted. Uh-huh. And that was in early September. And then I just disappeared.
Right.
And there were reasons for that. And so I want to talk about that.
Okay. So I guess I'm going to like treat this like interview style. And I'll do my best to extract the last 6 months from you. like an emotional surgery.
Using the word extract just made it kind of creepy.
Okay, let's like an emotional anthropology.
Oh, like, I like that better.
Yeah, I know. It's gotta sound good and feel good.
Way to
good.
Adjust to my soft needs.
It's taking time, but we're here. So I guess my first question is like, WTF? Like, where you been? What's going on? What comes to mind first when I say WTF about the last 6 months?
Where have you been, Molly? So the first thing that comes to mind is that it has been, how do I even want to put this? It's just been a very intense container, very inward, very personal. There's been so much life stuff that has happened. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest part of that life stuff was having to be in this custody case situation.
Yes.
And so we can talk more about what that is because it's finally over now. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I obviously wasn't allowed to talk about it because we were actively in court and we're not in court anymore.
So you can get more specific, but not so specific that it'll be incriminating.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. And so that whole situation lasted from May of 2021 all the way through basically the end of the year up until like the first week in January. So I've just been like poking my head out. I finally have all of that energy that I had been putting into court and like writing notes for my lawyer and processing emotionally.
Yeah.
Because there's been so much that has come as a result of that. And the reason that I'm focusing on that is that it's been being in this court situation, but also a shit ton of inner work and grieving and growth and transformation and really like a wintering season for me that's been happening. Like it's been very internal and I've needed to cocoon and I've needed to be away from the podcast for that reason.
So I guess part of the mechanism of me being here is to extract some of the, and sorry, the crudeness of the word extract.
It's okay.
But for me, I don't always follow the feelery language. I don't mean feelery in like I don't say that maliciously or any kind of ill intent.
But it's literally just the differences in our personalities and how we talk about stuff.
Yeah. And I think some people listening, you're like, you say wintery and you're like, oh, I know exactly what that means. But I don't know what that means. What does wintery mean when you're talking about like the last 6 months have been wintery? What is wintery?
Well, not wintery, wintering.
Wintering.
With an ING.
Wintering. So an action.
Yeah. And it's fun that you ask because I actually have been reading a whole book about it. There's a book called Wintering by Catherine May. Mm-hmm. And it's Wintering, the Power of Rest and Retreat in Difficult Times. Mm-hmm. And I picked up this book in 2020, actually, when we went through the first winter. of the pandemic, and I felt really isolated and alone. And I've been reading this book every year since, just to reacquaint myself with the process. But I am prepared to answer your question with a quote from the book.
All right.
In this book, she's talking about retreating from her life. And she says, I had no idea how much these quiet pleasures had retreated from my life when I was rushing around. And now I'm inviting them back in. Still, rhythmic work with the hands, the kind of light concentration that allows you to dream, and the sense of a kindness done in the process. It's kind of sympathetic magic to handle something so pointless with such reverence. I'm tending to the dead, gently laying to rest a set of values for which I no longer have any use. And then it says, that's what humans do. We make and remake our stories, abandoning the ones that no longer fit and trying on new ones for size. And so basically for me, wintering has been that process of like slowly and quietly and by myself shedding layers that no longer serve me and really taking the opportunity of actual literal physical darkness in winter in upstate New York that lasts a long time to give myself that space and flow with that season internally. So it very quickly became clear to me in September that I needed to pull away from most things to pull into myself and really pay attention to the processes that were happening emotionally, spiritually. Cause I was really unmade and undone in a lot of ways through this process of having to go to court for custody of my two kiddos and like learning through the process. It was like a very raw and ripping open of a lot of old things kind of a process.
So what I hear you saying is for the sake of translation, not sterilization.
Yeah.
Just in case someone is like, why are you dissecting this word wintering? I'm not trying to do it in a sterilizing way. I'm trying to do it in a effectively translating kind of way. But what I hear you saying is this wintering is like a type of hibernation and transforming. Like, because that happens every year, right? With the cycles of the seasons, you know, we go through winter and everything dies or recedes. And then when springtime comes, there's been a process that the new seeds and flowers grow from. I'm saying that reductively. But to translate, that seems like that's what you're talking about in its loose essence of what wintering is. Obviously, it's much more nuanced and complex. But what's interesting about that and you doing that within something that is kind of naturally wintering with like the pandemic having happening.
At the time of this recording, it is February 2022 and it's still very much happening.
Still happening, but the peak of it and peak panic related to it is what I mean. Is
kind of subsided.
Is different. The tone is different. And so there's been also for a lot of people, wintering can be both either by choice, but in your case, in all of our cases, but double in your case and what you're talking about is like you're dealing with this big thing where a lot of people are kind of forced to recede in some form and forced to pull back, to reevaluate, to restructure, to rethink, to breathe, to shed layers, like you're saying, and figure out, like, when you get out of the tunnel, like, where are you going to end up? Where are you going to land? It's like going through a tunnel through a mountain. If you've never been on the other side of the mountain, like, what is it going to look like? I've driven across the country twice. And I've been through places where like you go into a mountain on one side and you come out and it's a completely different landscape. And you're like, whoa, this is completely crazy. So in your case of going through these last 6 months, like what is some of that landscape change look like? What has been the before and what is changing to have you come out of the tunnel now?
Yeah, that's a really good way to frame it. And I love the metaphor because as you were saying it, I was reacting internally with like, yeah, I had no idea what I was going to meet when I came to the other end of the tunnel. And while I was in the tunnel was so dark and like musty and, you know, like really, just really like a womb space kind of a thing where I had no idea how long I was going to be in the tunnel. I definitely had moments where I was like, am I just going to be in this tunnel forever? Which is also a very Enneagram 4 thing of being afraid, you know, that my
feeling. I think everybody experiences that sort of feeling. Like when you're in the tunnel, all you see is blackness or like,
is it just going to be dark for the rest of my life now?
Or the same lights over and over again, right? Like it's ironically, those are situations. It's funny. Those are situations where I thrive personally.
Yes.
Because I just get into like a, well, I'm just, there's nothing else I can do but keep driving or keep walking or keep whatever. Yeah. Anyway, not to derail you.
Yeah. And you're really good at dealing with those situations, especially when it's not you who's going through the dark night of the soul. Mm-hmm. so I've really appreciated having you there for that. But to answer your question about the landscape.
Yeah.
I think when I entered the tunnel, I think I had this assumption that like everything in my life was a certain way. And when I got thrust into this situation, which was a total surprise to me, right? Like I got a court summons in May and we had had no conversation about it. Like I thought that we were good, you know, and I'm going into more detail cause I want to, but, it was very abrupt and it was shocking. Like it was such a shock to my nervous system.
We were in a rhythm and then kind of threw us off the rails.
It did. Mm-hmm. It threw everything off. Yeah. And it was kind of like this, well, what the fuck? Like, right. What am I supposed to do with this? Mm-hmm. And at that point, like, I didn't have a lawyer. I had never really done that before. You know, despite getting divorced a few years ago and doing all these things, it was very much new territory for me in so many ways.
Well, and for additional context, like we were saying that, like, I thrive in a situation where I just have to kind of be patient. Mm-hmm. We were doing well.
Yes.
Like we, in the pandemic, like I know it's probably not talked about as much as it should be, but plenty of people did well and there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. We did well in terms of having the opportunity to like buckle down and focus because we both work from home. Yeah. So we were able to just like wake up and show up and we didn't have to really deal with external challenges as much.
Yeah. It was much more insulated.
Yeah. So that worked out for us. But then this outside thing showed up out of the blue because it's hard to say without getting too specific, but out of the blue, it was really disruptive.
And it really triggered in like one fell swoop. It really triggered all of my deepest fears, right? Mm-hmm. Like all of the things that are actually traumas that have happened to me in the past came back in, like my fears about me not being a good enough mom and my fears about me being, you know, like guilty or whatever, for leaving the situation that I was in with that marriage, you know, or all these things that I hadn't really faced, like I had in some capacity, but I think I didn't realize how much I had kept the processing of them at a pretty safe distance because it was uncomfortable. And having to go into this court situation, literally, like, as soon as I got a lawyer and all that, and she was amazing, and, like, I, you know, crowdsourced the ability to pay her, which was another huge lesson for me in asking for help. Mm-hmm. And all of this, like, it was, like, layers and layers and layers of old skin, or like if you think of it like a hermit crab, like an old shell that really didn't fit anymore, that I was just kind of holding on to because it was what was familiar.
Yeah.
And it was like in all one fell swoop, all of that getting like cut down to the bone and me having to reckon with all of these things.
Yeah.
So it was a really intense container. Like there was one week where my lawyer asked me to write as much as I could about my dynamic with my ex-husband and about, you know, our life together and how it had changed and how I left the faith. And so I'm literally taking a whole week, right, mm-hmm. to deeply expose so much of my own trauma.
Yeah.
And I had to do that for the case.
Right.
But it was so exhausting. And so, like, for example, in a week like that, all of my energy went into that work. And there was nothing else that I could really get myself to do, especially when it came to my business and, like, the podcast. It was like, I don't have any energy for this right now. Mm-hmm. All of my energy is going into this very insular, you know, processing experience.
Did you feel like at the time that all of this happening at once, and this is my attempt to try to translate this into something that our listener friends can perhaps connect to their life?
Yeah.
Is, did you feel like this happening, especially since we were doing well?
Yeah.
Do you feel like this happening felt like a, this is not even the right use of this word, but I think this is the common use of this word, like a karmic jab?
Hmm.
Like the universe kind of was like, hey, you've got to pay these dues. And like, did it feel like this was something suddenly coming back for you?
Yes and no. I think I feel more like I had that perspective on it as we went through. I just remember in the moment being so fucking mad. Like, I was really angry.
Yeah.
And the beautiful thing about that is that as I was raging, I had all of these realizations about how much I haven't been allowed to access my rage. Yeah. Like, and so that was really the first big part of it,
mm-hmm.
was just being completely caught off guard, being fucking pissed,
mm-hmm.
and then realizing, oh wow, there is so much grief under here. Mm-hmm. Because usually anger is like one of the top layers covering large chasms of grief. That's the case for everyone. And yeah. So it really tapped me into this like cavern of things that I had not dealt with.
And I think something that I've noticed amongst NF types,
mm-hmm.
NF personality types of like the 4-letter Myers-Briggs code,
mm-hmm.
is sometimes a challenge with accessing anger,
mm-hmm.
or utilizing anger, because sometimes anger can be seen as like a cheap emotion or an undervalued emotion.
Yeah.
Or a surface level emotion, something that is just like not, that doesn't have any merit. That, yeah. Like, if you just get angry, like, it doesn't serve any purpose. Like,
it's called like a secondary emotion, or it's in a lot secondary of psychological circles.
Right. And so I think there's a lot of internal feeling logic, for lack of a better way to put it, that anger is not worth feeling,
yeah.
or anger doesn't get me anywhere, or anger is sometimes just difficult to access.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've noticed a pattern, and you can tell me if this is something you even want to talk about,
mm-hmm.
That accessing your anger and like standing up for yourself had been a difficult thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like kind of in line with the karmic question I was asking, is like,
mm-hmm.
it felt like this was the universe serving you this moment to be like, okay, you think you're hot shit. Let's go. So I want to know, I'm curious about how anger and standing up for yourself has played into this like wintering process for you over the last 6 months.
Yeah, when you said you think you're hot shit, I was literally thinking about something that Ram Dass said, which is, you think that you have transcended or evolved or are enlightened, like, go visit your family.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt a lot like that, where I really, you know, we really were doing well, but I also was assuming internally that I was doing better than I actually was, because like you said, like, I hadn't faced any of this anger. I think part of me was hoping subconsciously that maybe I could just skip it.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe I could just leave my divorce in the past and like all of these feelings that I had around all of that, you know, with motherhood and all of these things. But really, I was skating along the surface of a rage-filled lava lake. Mm-hmm. And having to go to court really plunged me right into it. But what ended up happening was that the rage was what I needed to propel me, not only to take action and, like, you know, literally answer this court summons and hire a lawyer and do all the things, but to, like, put my big girl panties on, so to speak, mm-hmm. and be like, okay, well, I have no fucking choice. I have to address this.
Yeah.
I can't ignore it. This is something that I can't just ignore.
Right.
And hope it'll go away, because it won't. You know, like, literally, if you were to ignore a court summons, you could be arrested.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, the agreement, the custody agreement, I wouldn't have any say in it. And so I was like, you know what? It's time for me to speak up, and it's time for me to say, like, this far and no further. I think that, to answer your question, was the biggest part of the rage for me,
mm-hmm.
was that it gave me the opportunity to be like, okay, no, we're done. Not just, you know, not just my ex, not just that dynamic, but also for me, mm-hmm. to be like, okay, we're done running. We're going to fucking deal with this.
Right.
And it really changed me,
mm-hmm.
in so many ways, because it's like, there's, I can't remember what the name of the system is in psychology, but there's this idea that you have life force energy, and that's like the core.
Uh-huh.
And to move through different layers to get to it, you have to go through these death layers.
Mm-hmm.
And in the core life force energy, there's creativity, there's vitality, there's passion, but there's also rage.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be able to feel those things.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was really the process for me, was going through this court situation, also going to therapy a lot, crying a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there was a lot of rage to deal with.
And there's a major somatic element to it as well.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is a body connected aspect. And what brings me to that, just to be fully transparent, is that one of the things I work with is the Enneagram.
Mm-hmm.
And each Enneagram type falls within one of what's called the centers of intelligence.
Yeah.
There's head, heart, and body types. Head types are 5, 6, and 7, body types are 8, 9, and 1, and the heart types are 2, 3, and 4.
Mm-hmm.
You're more naturally a heart type, you're a 4. I'm a body type, I'm a 1. And body types also have a connection to anger.
Yeah.
And anger, in a lot of ways, like, why I wanted to bring up the anger as, like, typically seen as a lower emotion or secondary emotion, is that anger can sometimes be that connecting force to your body.
Mm-hmm.
And what your body needs to release or work through, or as part of moving through tension or mm-hmm. anxiety or whatever. And it feels like to me, and at least in my personal observation over the last 6 months, that first of all, this wintering thing, it sounds like, if you were just talking about the word wintering and we were not breaking this apart, that it would be like this passive hibernation, cozy hiding thing.
Yeah.
But it's been really this, like, internal practicing, breaking out of, chipping away,
mm-hmm.
and moving space,
yeah.
accessing rage, accessing your body. You've been doing more yoga practices, more dance practices, physically moving a lot more. And the more that you're physically moving, the more I see you able to access anger in healthy ways, and not just as, like, you know, a rage monster.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you brought up the somatic element, because that's something that I did want to address, is that I think me having no choice but to face my rage also created this opportunity, this invitation to feel it in my body. And because of that, I also had no choice, really. I did have a choice, but the choice was either, like, ignore it and become even more frozen,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, even more paralyzed in a way. And I mean that literally, because my nervous system goes into freeze so easily. It's something I'm working on.
Mm-hmm.
I could either do that, or I could find ways to deal with it and manage it. And so ecstatic dance as a practice for me, yoga as a practice for me, has been huge. And I want to talk about ecstatic dance for a moment, because that has really been one of the things that I have been practicing during this time away that has helped me. And basically it's like once or twice, it was twice a week during the summer, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, where we, a group of us, go outside. We're in a park somewhere. And sorry about the siren, y'all. I'm distracted.
We live in an apartment in the city, so it's going to happen. It's going to pass in a second.
You're going to hear city sounds a lot.
Yeah.
But so we go outside and we dance our butts off for a couple of hours. And part of it that was really foreign and strange to me when I first started this practice was releasing vocally. So like yelling and screaming and moaning and grumbling, like a lot of primal animal sounds that are really connected to the rage space. And what was really interesting for me as I was practicing ecstatic dance, you know, once or twice a week for the entirety of this process, was that I realized that I had made these noises before, but in a birth situation.
Yeah.
And so I started to make the connection between rage and birthing process. And so I was like, oh, like this is literally it. There's something that needs to come out of me. There's something that needs to be birthed.
Yeah.
And the only way that I can access that is by releasing and allowing and yelling and really, and allowing myself to be held too.
Right, right.
So that was the other part. I was physically, somatically practicing relationships with others, in that I would have some days when I would just collapse on the ground and I would just be weeping. And number one, the fact that I felt safe enough to do that was incredible, because I can't say that about many other parts of my life. You know, besides with you and a couple other people. But I would weep, and I would have people like this dance family around me just holding me. And so it was me learning to be held. And be accepted in my rage and in my grief, and let my nervous system know through this practice of feeling it, that it was okay for me to fall apart. And that I wasn't going to get rejected for falling apart.
So we've got this point of entering the tunnel, right? Is when you literally get the paperwork.
After Mother's Day, by the way.
The day after Mother's Day. Yeah. And so you get into this tunnel, and now you're in the tunnel. And to me, to like stick with the metaphor, it feels like what you've been doing is, first of all, accepting the circumstance. Because I think that happens.
Accepting the tunnel.
Well, I think that's what happens, is like, to make another adjacent metaphor, it's like sometimes it's really easy to see a tsunami coming or a wave coming, and you look at it and you point at it and you're saying like,
I
shouldn't have to deal with this. I shouldn't have to be in this tunnel. I shouldn't have to be dealing with the wave. I shouldn't have to prepare for this.
In a perfect world, there would be no tsunamis.
Yeah, exactly. Right? But I think in your case, and I want to applaud you for this, is being able to, and I mean, it wasn't easy, but it, like, to recognize that this was the circumstance that you were in, and it required you to pull back from other things, because we've established that you're an ENFP, which means you're not a thinker. You have thinker connections, like every feeler has thinker elements, etc. But that this
but
is not...
My main mode is feeling.
Your main mode is feeling and talking about your experience and expressing yourself and creating art and all of this.
Yeah.
But in this case, you had to do a lot of strategizing, lot of paperwork.
I fucking hated it, dude.
A lot of planning, a lot of finding a lawyer, and then also getting people to support us in like paying for the lawyer because we can't afford it. And then also in the midst of that, doing everyday things and taking care of the kids. And so that meant with this new thing that came in, you had to let go of some things in order to be able to have the capacity for this new thing that you essentially had to do,
mm-hmm.
to basically accept that you're in the tunnel, to accept that this is my circumstance. So I'm going to, you know, adjust my circumstances. And I think you adjusted really well.
Thank you.
To what the circumstance was, but then also continuing to uncover and shed those layers that you're talking about of like, okay, I've got a lot of stress, and all of that stress led you to starting to do the somatic work.
Yeah.
And
as a way to survive, right? Because mm-hmm. I realized really quickly, and I appreciate your appreciation about like the way that I handled it, because I'm really proud of how I handled it too. Like mm-hmm. there have been similar-ish situations in my life, and the difference this time is that I'm different.
Yeah.
And I'm different after the tunnel too. And mm-hmm. so like really leaning in and allowing that evolution process to happen, even though it was really uncomfortable, was really important for me. But again, it was like, my two choices are basically like do this or die. You right. know, it really right. was a do or die moment.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You could have really just like rolled over and let the paperwork decide what was going to happen, what like your fate was going to be.
Yeah. And that's
what I mean when standing.
And that's up actually a really big shift for me. I'm glad that you mentioned that, because the first time that my ex-husband and I went to make a custody agreement when I had first left and we weren't really divorced yet. We went into mediation and we did it, and I had no capacity at that point in mm-hmm. my nervous system. There was a number of things going on that I won't get into, but I was in freeze mode. I was in shock. I was really having a hard time. And so when we made that initial custody agreement, that's what I did. I rolled over, mm-hmm. you know, and I basically like let it happen yeah. because I had no capacity to fight it.
Right.
Like at that point, it was more, I was using all my capacity to stay alive.
Right.
And at this juncture, when I went into this particular tunnel, the difference was that I realized I had the capacity to fight,
mm-hmm.
which when you think about it from a somatic or a nervous system realm, really like freeze was where I had lived for years. And that's kind of like the third layer underneath
yeah.
fight or flight, that your nervous system moves into when you don't have the ability to even fight or flight. It's just kind of like, well, we're going to go into lizard mode and we're just going to fall asleep.
Yeah.
which I would literally do in stressful situations.
Yeah.
And so when this paperwork came through, I was like, okay, well, this is my opportunity to get into fight mode
mm-hmm.
and allow my rage. And it really felt like I was a phoenix, like in mm-hmm. so many ways, that rage burnt away so much that right. I had been holding on to.
So what I think is interesting is that we've talked about you, or we've mentioned that you're an Enneagram 4.
Mm-hmm.
And with the Enneagram comes what's called instincts,
mm-hmm.
which there are three instincts: self-preservation, social, which is more like social blending
mm-hmm.
or some relationship to a group.
Yeah.
And then there's sexual or one-to-one energy, which is a little bit more of like an assertiveness, tends to, you know, stand up for yourself, a charm, a chemistry, kind of like an intense energy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a dominant energy, there's a secondary kind of stabilizing energy, and then there's a repressed energy. And mm-hmm. in your case, your self-preservation first,
uh-huh.
and your sexual repressed, which yeah. means to not only double on the NF idea of like not being able to, or having challenges with expressing anger,
mm-hmm.
but then there's the sexual repressed part where it's like doubly difficult to express,
yeah.
to stand up for yourself.
Yeah.
Because it's not something that you are naturally doing as
basically
much.
My first and second instinct is all about like turtle shelling, and this situation flipped it on its head and made it so that I really needed to be a dragon and not a turtle.
Right. So what I'm trying to lead into question wise is there's an aspect of Enneagram 4s, and in your case being an Enneagram 4, where like every Enneagram type does a version of trying to avoid feeling what they need to feel or doing what they need to do or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the Enneagram 4 tactic is to feel all other emotions or past other emotions in order to avoid what they need to do or need to feel.
Yeah.
And so do you feel like you've learned something about that in yourself through these last 6 months and through this experience?
Yeah, first of all, thanks. I hate it. Sorry, it's a very like, fuck this, I am willing situation. And yeah, you're really right. That is the tendency. Right. And so that has been part of the process for me, is realizing that tendency and thrashing that with that tendency,
mm-hmm.
but also facing it.
Yeah.
And realizing there's so much of the grief for me in the last 6 months was actually around that realization.
Mm-hmm.
Of just like, oh shit, how much of my life have I not been present for because I haven't been allowing myself to feel those feelings, you know?
Yeah.
And there's like so much grace for that because, of course, past me was doing everything she could with the tools she had.
Mm-hmm.
And the more tools that I get, the more I'm able to do, like energetic capacity wise. But to answer your question, it's absolutely transformed me in that way. Absolutely. To where I have not only awareness, usually the path is awareness and then anger about the awareness. And so like me leaning into that anger is helpful in my own transformation to be like, oh, I'm pissed that this is the way that I am. This is so annoying. Like, I thought we dealt with this already. You know, when it comes to growth stuff, there's always these layers that you come back to, like a spiral over and over again. And it was very much that for me, where I was like, oh, gosh, this is something that I'm going to have to deal with it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I have been dealing with it. Like, mm-hmm. that has been the creative work of the last 6 months.
Mm.
That is where all my creative energy has gone into. It's not like it disappeared. It's just that it was focused in a very intense and acute way.
So how have you reconciled? Maybe reconcile is not the right word, but how have you synthesized this idea of like, because you've been going through so much, and I relate to a lot of this too, because I recently went through some shadow stuff, which I talked about on my podcast,
mm-hmm.
Where my friend Joel Mark Witt from Personality Hacker, he talks about when you're doing certain types of growth work,
mm-hmm.
that it's sort of like having to close lanes down on a highway. It's like everything's running smoothly, and then suddenly you have to do like transcendence work or achievement related stuff or mm-hmm. healing work, and yeah. you have to shut down a couple lanes of the highway.
Yeah.
And so in your case, in the last 6 months, you've had to shut down a lot of the lanes of the highway,
including the podcast, right?
Yeah. And so I think I'm trying to act as the conduit a little bit for the person who's listening.
Yeah.
Because I think that many of us experience this challenge where we go through healing stuff, or we go through a death in the family, or we go through child support stuff, or we have to deal with any series of, you know, there's no ranking necessarily of which thing is better or worse.
Yeah.
But like something that is destabilizing.
Mm-hmm.
And with America in particular being a very achievement focused place,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people needing to, especially if you work for yourself, like
yeah.
needing to wake up and do things. When you're not able to show up because you need to, like everything in your body and your heart and your mind is pulling you towards something that you need to focus on,
mm-hmm.
to process, to feel,
yeah.
to work on, to talk to someone about or whatever.
Yeah.
Like what's come up for you? Like what has come up with you, come up for you in relation to having to close down those lanes? Like, How has that felt, and like is there a do you feel like there is another side of that, or are you still kind of reconciling with that?
Yeah, well, this conversation actually, in a very meta way, is helpful, because when we first came to the microphone, I told you that I was feeling really nervous and anxious. And it was because I needed to, you know, break the seal on the conversation and coming back to the podcast, and like, you know, this is the season of return to me, really, in every single aspect, right? And I think the biggest takeaway for me that will also be helpful to all of you beautiful souls who are listening is that I was able to shut down those lanes. I felt really upset about having to shut down, you know, the podcast and most of my business, honestly. Like, everything really ground to a halt for a really long time because I physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually could not do it. I just could not. It was an impossibility. And as much as I was thrashing against it, coming out the tunnel on the other side, the realization I have had is that I didn't die, number one. And y'all are still here.
Yeah.
All of the fears that I had about rejection, or, you know, like my listeners leaving and never wanting to come back, like all of those were fears that I had that were just not true. Like, they were trying to protect me, you know, and fear has its place, but it's not in the driver's seat anymore. And I think that that is the biggest takeaway, is that, yo, I didn't die. I'm still here. And I think also that it's really important, not only and not only do you have permission to go through wintering seasons and dark nights of the soul, but it's absolutely necessary, and you will benefit so much from listening to your body, listening to your spirit, listening to what, like, the data that your emotions are bringing to you, because there's no such thing as good or bad emotions. It's all just data. It's information to show you, you know, point to things that you need to pay attention to.
Right.
And if you're listening and you feel like you need to slow down and you don't feel like you can,
right,
you can, and you need to, like, it's really important.
Right. What makes an emotion, quote unquote, good or bad is our judgment of them.
Yeah.
Like, the emotion itself is, it's like a neutron. It's just a thing. And then you add a charge to it, mm-hmm. and then it becomes something else.
Yeah.
And our ego usually adds the charge. And it's, you know, it's complicated, right? There's so many things, there's so many nodes going on in our systems, the lives of our systems, or the other way around, the systems of our lives. and so first of all, I appreciate that you're alive. Thanks for that.
Thank you.
I like you. I think you're great.
I like you too.
So thanks for being here. I'm glad you've made it through.
Me too.
And I do very much hope that, you know, some of the people who were not listening before, or who were listening before, are still here, or some new people who have needed to hear that, not only with the pandemic, but like going through difficult things is like, it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And now I, from a very practical perspective, I think that, if you're someone who is, and I assume like a lot of people who are listening are like people who are running their own businesses. It seems like those are the circles of people that you run in.
Yeah, it's part of the people.
It's part of it. I would say that if you have the opportunity to, from a practical standpoint, like almost budget in that this could happen.
Yeah. Right?
Like, I think that's part of
this. Oh my gosh, like make space for your own humanity? What?
Well, I mean, like from a... from literally like a money standpoint, like I will say that I'm not smart. Yeah, I would say that I haven't been smart in my own personal.
We can have another conversation about all that.
Yeah, I've been very risk-taky, but I think usually they say to like build 6 months of income or so, if you can.
Yeah.
Because like you're gonna need room for these things to happen, because that's just life.
Yeah, and that's a whole other conversation. Mm-hmm. But I think what I want to land it on, and this feels like a good place to land for now, is that it is okay, and you are still a creator even when you're not creating art. Like, even if you're a podcaster and you're not podcasting, you're still a podcaster. right? Yeah. If you're a business person and you're not businessing, you're still all the things, you know, all of that is like contained inside of you, and it's okay. I just want to like give you validation from my own experience, dear listener, that it is okay for you to take your time, to slow down, to close down as many lanes as possible. And like, if the one lane that you need to keep open is literally just like keeping yourself alive and feeding yourself food and going through the emotional rigmarole, that's okay. Like, we go through seasons like that, and wintering is just part of the process of being human. So.
Yeah. And I think, very much adapting and accepting your circumstance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, if you're in the tunnel, you're in the tunnel.
Be in the tunnel.
Be in the tunnel.
Yeah.
Turn on the radio.
Allow the tunnel.
Sing to some Lady Gaga.
Notice how your eyes adjust to the dark.
Lady Gaga. I don't know why I always say it that way. Gaga. Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga.
Yeah. There you go. Listen to some Lady Gaga.
Dance in the car.
Yeah. Allow yourself to be in the tunnel. Yeah. Let it be.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being on this podcast with me. I'm sure we're going to do this again, because this has been very, very helpful for me to talk to another human being. And you're readily available. We live in the same place.
Yeah. So. And I'm curious, because like with the Myers-Briggs stuff, like my I need emotional feedback to know that this was okay.
This was great.
So thank you. But I also want to hear from the listeners.
Yeah.
Like, I'm curious that if you would want to, like, Molly and I have thought about doing like the thinker and the feeler type of podcast.
The head and the heart.
Yeah, like stuff like that. But yes, like the thinker and the feeler, like this joke, this play on like old indie bands.
Yeah.
I don't know if you like this dynamic. I'd be curious if there's any topics that came up that you'd like have questions about.
Yeah.
And want to hear.
Oh, because we threw open a bunch of doors. So.
Yeah. I mean, there's like a ton of rabbit holes that we could go down. So. Yeah. I would just be curious. I mean, we're going to make whatever we want to make, but it really does help to get some feedback. Like, I take the RuPaul approach, where RuPaul gets feedback from all of the people around RuPaul, and then RuPaul's just like, I've made a decision.
I've made my decision.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, we're going to do whatever we want, but your feedback is very much appreciated.
Yeah. And if you are still listening, I know this has been a very long conversation. I might break it up. We shall see. But thank you for being here. I really fucking love you. Like, I mean that. So I appreciate you. Thank you, Christian.
My pleasure.
I love you.
I love you. I love you. This has been great.
And wow. With that.
Oh my God.
We will catch you next
so
time.
So much fun.
Mwah.
Wow.
Thank you so much for being here with me. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Thank you for coming back on this journey with me as we navigate what the Darling Revolution looks like moving forward. If you enjoyed what you heard, please subscribe to the podcast. Leave a review on iTunes. That really, really helps us to get some visibility. And if you really loved it, send it to a friend who you think would appreciate it as well. I'll see you next time. Bye for now, friend. Better at not moving than I am.
That's most of like my life's things. It's just like, if I don't move, it'll be okay. That's my assumption of how I'm supposed to live.
Well, we could go into a whole conversation about nervous system states, but we're not going to right now.
No.
Hello.
So how do you want to do this? Do you need to do like a setup? Do you need to, what's going on?
I don't know yet. So
this is us talking.
This is us talking, first of all.
No, literally you and me, I want to figure out what we're talking about.
Yeah.
No one's listening yet.
Yeah, I want to I want to talk about the last, how many months is it? September, October, November, December, January, 6 months.
Okay. Like, I don't remember anything from the last 6 months.
You will, as okay. It comes up in conversation.
Sure.
I basically just want to say hi again, then come back out and be like, hey, I'm changing the format of this, and right. I want to have more conversations.
So we just prompt you with questions about the last 6 months?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Molly.
No.
What the fuck? What's going on?
That's how we'll start.
Where have you been? What's going on? What's the deal?
No, that's too much.
Tell me all the things. Tell me your entire life story for the last 6 months. Every moment you've brushed your teeth. Every moment you've...
My nervous system is getting overwhelmed. I'm nervous, and I don't know why. I think it's because I just haven't...
I bring a more heightened energy, so I'll bring it down.
Yeah, bring it down. Bring it down a little bit.
Bring it down.
The so Darling Molly. Revolution podcast is a little more chill. We are not...
So, Molly. Okay, so I'll put on my NPR voice.
Yeah, but first...
So, Molly.
I would like to introduce the conversation and tell people what's happening so that it's not like, who the fuck is this man?
No, I thought about that too. It's probably important to
it is.
Establish rapport.
Yeah. So when we start, I'll just start with like a short introduction, basically. Okay. And then we can have a conversation. I'll basically be like, yeah, like, hello again, my little introduction thing. And I have made, I'll explain a little bit that I've been making shifts around how I want to approach the podcast.
Yeah.
And part of that is having conversations. And so I have invited my husband in to have conversations with me. And so, and then I'll introduce you and then we can start the conversation.
Sounds good. I'll use my sexy NPR voice.
All right. I'm going to make a little pause.
Little clapper.
No. I was literally trying to introduce some white space so that I can edit this down later.
That's what I'm saying. The clapper is the...
I didn't know that's what it was called. No,
clappers are like, okay, take one.
I didn't know it was called a clapper.
It syncs audio. It's so video and audio can sync, so you can have everything like... same noise to reference.
Oh, that's why they do it. So
there's an audio, there's a visual of the clap, and you can literally see it clap, and then you see the waveforms, and you, because usually you're not just using one recorder or like whatever, you're syncing multiple. So I just did it because I just thought it would be funny, and also because it gives you a point of reference. So that when you're about to edit, you don't have to listen to the whole thing and try to figure out, okay, where do I need to stop?
You can see the spike in the... That's amazing.
Yeah. So if you're actually going to do the take, then we can do the... Yeah. And then you just do the... You just cut to the latest one, and you're like, that's where we start.
I'm learning so much from you.
Editing.
That's what happens when you're in the film industry.
You learn things.
You learn things.
Yes, okay. Indeed.
So yes, we can... When you said the clapper, for some reason, my brain went to like a sexual thing, which tells you where my brain has been the last couple hours.
It's, you know, that's also viable.
I was like, is that a toy?
Valid.
Is that a toy?
A clapper? probably.
Is that a move?
It's probably more of a move than it is. I mean, it can be a toy, I'm sure. But if you, it seems like a toy that if you've like watched too much porn, I don't know if you've watched the kind of porn that either like you listening, I don't know if like you're going to end up using this, but the kind of clapper where like in porn where they're just like patting the vagina.
They pat the vagina?
It's really stupid.
Oh my
it's
God. Just,
to this day, I don't understand what that's supposed to do. It's never really been like it's a
sounds uncomfortable.
It's like patting sand into the ground.
I wish y'all could see the face that I'm making right now. You've watched more porn than I have.
Unfortunately. But you know, porn was really a thing to learn what not to do. More than it was about learning what to do.
Take it from an expert.
There's a lot of logical.
Don't watch porn to learn what to do. Watch porn to learn what not to do.
Exactly.
You know what? This intro is probably gonna go on my Patreon, because one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to make the Patreon more about the podcast, and so there's gonna be like juicy bloopers and edits and stuff and like secret podcast stuff. So
another thing I've learned from porn, like, you know, you might be able to just, sometimes it's better to just put it on the back end,
right,
and make that work. That's not an anal thing. That's more of a, maybe at the end of the podcast, this is like a post-credit scene kind of thing. Like a little...
Yeah.
Hey, if you stuck around and actually listened to the whole thing.
If you'd like to talk us to talk about weird shit.
Yeah. This is the this is the warm-up. But for this you, is this warm-up. Is... For you listening, this is the climax.
This is like the post-climax.
This is the post-cuddling. Talking about the madness.
This is the post-cuddling. I like that metaphor. Okay, we can do the clapper, and then I will... I need to take a moment to regather myself, though, because now I'm totally distracted. And I don't want this episode to be about porn, although that would be an interesting topic for an episode, I'm sure, but... Mm-hmm.
That's fine. Yeah, very good.